This episode is brought to you by Visit Ithaca. Ithaca, New York boasts an authentic craft beverage experience, tasty farm-to-table culinary adventures, and scenic outdoor recreation among 150 waterfalls. Plan your trip today with help from visitithaca.com.
Hey, this is Hannah, HRN's program manager. It's HRN's 10th anniversary and now our summer fun drive. So show your support for independent, revolutionary, entertaining food radio by becoming a monthly recurring donor. HRN is powered by a passionate community of thoughtful eaters, and we need each and every one of you to show your support so that we can keep bringing you your favorite food podcasts. It takes a village, and every dollar donated, every listener tuning in is essential to our continued success. So set up a donation for $10 every month. You'll show us that you want to be a part of a bright future for HRN. And you'll get one of our brand new limited edition Pizza Pocket t-shirts. So snag your new favorite tea and show us some love, all for the price of about two fancy lattes each month. Go to heritageradionetwork.org/donate today, and thank you.
Welcome to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Sherry Bayer, and we're coming to you live from Roberta's Restaurant in Bushwick, Brooklyn. It is Wednesday, June 26, 2019, and this is the 219th episode of this series, which is dedicated to behind-the-scenes talents in the hospitality industry. Today, my guest is the dynamic founder of an LA-based handcrafted apron company, and I will introduce her fully in a moment. First, as I do on every show, I will start out with my PR tip, and then later we will have my speed round game, industry news discussion, solo dining experience, and the final question. As the founder of Bayer Public Relations, I'm going to tip the show off with my PR tip of the week. So today's tip is to celebrate successes. Big or small, expected or unexpected, it's important to take a moment to acknowledge what we have accomplished. Often we are running from one thing to the next, always trying to reach new goals and dreams, and not stopping to appreciate what we've already achieved. So let's remember to hit pause and reflect on where we are today, taking pride in our triumphs. And yes, we deserve it. That's my tip today. Now I'm so excited to have my guest calling in from Los Angeles. It is Ellen Bennett. She is the founder and culinary creator of Headley & Bennett, a Los Angeles-based handcrafted apron company. While working as a line cook at Bacco, Mercat, and two Michelin-starred Providence in L.A., Ellen realized that the drab, essentially disposable aprons that served as their uniforms needed a major upgrade. While she continued working both line cook jobs, she threw herself into growing her apron business. Today, Headley & Bennett makes aprons in a ton of different styles, plus chef coats, work shirts, kitchen linens, and Miss Knife bag, outfitting over 6,000 restaurants, operating a direct-to-consumer retail business, and selling via wholesale partners, plus numerous collaborations with events or products. Headley & Bennett products are manufactured in its 16,000-square-foot space in Los Angeles, where Ellen has also created an immersive, playful community space that I really want to visit. So welcome to the show, Ellen. Hi.
Hi, from the factory. There's sewing machines and things happening in the background, so bear with us.
Well, that's great. I'm at Roberta's, and there's pizza and customers and things happening here. So we'll compete with our lively noise.
Okay, awesome.
So I'm so excited to talk to you because I don't know, I really don't know how you do it. And I'm such a fan of you and your company and the culture you've created. But I always like to start with my guests and find out about their background a little more and how they got into the industry. Because I know you were working in kitchens. So what drew you into the restaurant world?
Well, I'm half Mexican, half English, and when I was younger, I had this grandioso dream of having a taco empire. And so when I turned 18, I decided to move to Mexico City. I really went for 2 months and stayed for 4 years. So the plan wasn't as crystallized as I just summed it up in 10 seconds, but I went to Mexico. I loved it. I loved cooking. I wanted to be a chef, but I wanted to specifically do tacos. And so I thought, like, I'm going to go to culinary school here. And after I, you know, lived in Mexico for 4 years, hustled my heart out because my parents were like, that's insane. You can't live in Mexico. You need to come home. We're here. Like, you need to be here. And when I convinced them that I was going to stay, they were like, all right, well, you're going to have to pay your way through all of that. So I learned a lot while living for 4 years in Mexico on my own. And then when I came back, I feel like I sort of had found myself, and I had worked so damn hard there that coming back to the United States was almost like someone rolled out the red carpet. And I thought the first thing I need to do before I start my taco empire is actually, you know, get a job at some proper restaurant and learn how a restaurant works, have some hands-on, you know, experience first, and then I can go start my taco land. So I went to a bunch of great restaurants in LA, took my resume from 2 to 4, you know, when they weren't busy, and I walked into places like Mozza and, you know, at that time, Lazy Ox, and Providence was one of them. And so I walked in there and I like demanded a job basically. And then they let me come in try out, and then they told me that they weren't hiring, but that they really liked my work. And I was like, don't worry about it. Let me just keep coming back for free. And then a week later, they hired me. And so it was just one of those things where I just kind of like squeezed my way in. And when I didn't know what to do, I would just clean and run around fast, picking herbs or doing whatever. And I just, you know, worked my way through the line and learned what I learned in those incredible institutions. I mean, one being super fine dining, and then the other one being very casual. You know, Lazy Ox and Baco are incredibly casual. So it was like high volume. And then at Providence, I wasn't even allowed to, you know, touch more than the herbs for the first 2 months. So it's very different world.
Right. And he just won James Beard Award. So,
yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. Yep. And I haven't dined there, but it's always been on my list. I have to go, but that's incredible experience. And I know from the part of the bio that I shared with everyone of yours that, you know, you weren't so thrilled with the garb in the kitchen.
Yeah. I thought, man, like, here's this unbelievable restaurant. I mean, literally the best restaurant in LA. And then also at Baco too, you know, really fantastic food. And everyone in the kitchen was just sort of running and gunning. And nobody had a proper uniform. And I think a uniform is really important. Just it's a unifying piece of garment, right, for one. And it also makes you feel and look the part, but like there was something lacking there. And I thought, if I could just make this better and make people feel like the athletes that they are in a kitchen, then, you know, we could kind of change the whole culinary space. And that was the really simple notion at the very beginning. I had zero idea what I was about to embark on. But it became a lot more than just an apron. The apron became the conduit, but really it turned into so much more.
Yeah, so how did you go about making your first apron, and then who was your first sale? Like, were you providing them at the restaurants you were working at, or was that kind of how it started with some chefs wearing your new stuff?
Yeah, my very first order was Baco Mercat. So it was the chef that I was, you know, working for half the week. And he asked me if I wanted to go in on some aprons that somebody was going to make them. And I was like, chef, I have an apron company. I'll make you those aprons. And, you know, I always tell this story. And I think people think, oh, that seems so simple. Like, what an easy concept. Maybe I should go start an apron company. But I truly had zero comprehension of what it would take to actually make a proper apron. And for the record, those first aprons sucked so bad. When I look back at them, I'm like, oh my God, that's like a disgrace. But I got them out. I made them for him. And 2 weeks later, he was like, hey, by the way, these aprons suck. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to make them right for you. And any money that I made on that first order was completely wiped by me fixing the apron. But it was just one of these things. I thought, Jesus, he's my first client. I got to make sure that he's taken care of. Not to mention I work for the guy and like my word is all I've got. So I need to really own it. So, you know, I made those aprons better. And I just from there hit the ground running and started talking to lots of different chefs and understanding what they wanted and what they were missing. And I just kept collaborating with people on a pretty like grassroots level. It was just me and the person, you know, figuring out like what's wrong with the aprons, what's wrong with the pockets. And then from there I started, you know, really trying to figure out how do I do this for more people because I was so excited and inspired by the interaction. You know, later, many years later, I realized that like doing that level of custom where I would literally promise unicorns to people. If they were like, I want a purple, right. I want a purple cow on the apron. I'd be like, let's figure out how to do it. Now we have a much better system for how we customize stuff. But from day one, it was all about the quality of the material. It had to be pro grade and it had to look good. It had to be well designed. Like it couldn't just be gaudy, obnoxious, branding. And so those were some of the pillars that to this day are still very much true to the brand. And you know, we have plenty of people that have sort of followed in our footsteps and are doing their own versions of aprons and stuff like that. And we just stick to quality and making it look amazing and having great design. And it has to be pro-grade because when you use our product in the kitchen, well, it lasts. It stands up. Like, an apron can look nice when you grab it, but the real trick and test is when you use it and wash it again and again and again.
Right. What year was this that you started?
It's been a minute. It was 2012. July 2012.
I wasn't sure. And then when did you leave your line cook jobs and were like full time in and hiring employees and getting your I wouldn't call factory, your workspace?
I quit Providence at the end of 2013 and Baco Mercat somewhere along the line there. So it was definitely more than a year and a chunk in. But at that point, ironically, I had already put together an office and I had one full-time employee, one part-time employee. So we had people before I even quit my full-time job. And I took, you know, no salary or anything like that for quite some time just to like build it because I self-funded it. So I started it with $300 and just kind of put every penny back into the business to grow it. So it was very like just never spend more than you make, basic old school mentality to grow it at the very beginning. And then from there, it was just sort of like, holy smokes. Once I quit my job at Providence, yeah. I had so much time. And so I spent a whole bunch of time just running around on these weekends, going to different cities and meeting with chefs and talking to other people and getting into events and figuring out what fun collaborations we could do. And again, it was just scaling the collaboration that I was doing with the chefs at the beginning, but now doing it with, you know, maybe Aspen Food and Wine or Feast Portland or, you know, Charleston Wine and Food. And we just kind of kept expanding our breadth and our scope and how our aprons touched people and how we got in front of people. But always with that sort of lens of bringing community together, whether it was like chefs and line cooks together or, you know, aspiring foodies that wanted to learn how to cook, that loved a chef, you know, they were coming together in events that we were throwing and spaces that we were throwing. And the apron was sort of the glue, from day one.
Right. What about the name? Because I know where the Bennett part came from, but, yeah. and also the design, because I remember, I was thinking of this, like where I was, I think I was at Untitled where I saw the ampersand and like you started seeing aprons with an ampersand and I don't know what year you came to New York, but you came to New York and it started popping up in restaurants where you have a very distinct, you know, look, and anyone with the ampersand, you know, it's yours. It's like a subtle little thing on that apron that just is your signature. But did you come up with that? And who's Headley?
What about the ampersand? Who's Headley?
I have in my notes. I need to ask, who's Headley?
Yeah, so Headley was my English grandfather. He was a rocket scientist for Boeing and Lockheed Martin, and he was literally a genius. And he was very inspiring to me. And not to mention, he's very much my English side. So I'm half Mexican, half English. So there's a good bit of Headley and Bennett that's quite, like, timeless and elegant, proper. And then you've got this, like, Mexican-Latino inspiration, and it's colorful and zingy and poppy and, like, bright and colorful and just, like, really alive. And so it's a combination of my two cultures, and that's why it's called Headley and Bennett.
Fabulous.
Bennett representing me. Yeah. And then the ampersand was something I developed about a year into Headley and Bennett. And what's really cool about it is that we actually own the placement of that ampersand on the pocket, on the top chest pocket. We actually have like a trademark on that location, the square, the shape, the ampersand, everything. It is ours. Just like Levi's has the pocket on their, you know, on the butt of a Levi's pair of pants with a little red tab. Like Levi's is the only company that can do that. Headley and Bennett is the only brand that owns the square placement of, the ampersand in the box on the chest pocket. So it very much became like the brand with the ampersand. People would spot it on TV, or they'd spot it in the Food Network, or, you know, on their favorite chef, and they would say, like, what is that? And you could even see people looking on our SEO. They would say, like, ampersand brand, red patch, apron, logo, like trying to find what we were. Because it was really a cult following at the beginning, that somebody that knew me, and it's Ellen, the apron lady. Like, let me connect you with her. And that was very much how it began. And then, you know, after a few years, like, it evolved out of that, because I was 24 when I started Headley and Bennett. I was 25. Now I'm 31. And so I sort of evolved out of being Ellen the apron lady to Ellen now running a company that has employees and 401ks and healthcare and a building and a factory. And it just became very real. It was not just a cute side project hustle. It was like lives depending on me. So I sort of had to pull myself together as a person too, and just graduate to that next level and start sharing and shedding some of the responsibility to other team members to help me grow it.
Yeah, no, it's a bit of smiling because you're so young. Like, it's amazing what you've accomplished already in life, really.
Oh, that's so sweet. No. It's so funny because people say that and I'm like, oh my God, you have no idea. There's so many things I'm like, we should do this. Why isn't this done? God, we need to work on that. Oh, we need to work this. Oh, yeah. I'm never, ever, ever quite happy. I don't think I'll ever stop working till the day I like go somewhere else, move on.
Yeah. Well, you obviously have chef energy. That's what it is. I think chefs have a different amount of energy and require less sleep than other human beings.
That's true. I will say though, I value my sleep. I'm very much like an Arianna Huffington believer. I sleep 8 hours a night, and I think it's so important because you're just a lot sharper.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to take a little break. Stay with us, though. We'll be right back. We'll talk more with Ellen, and this is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Ithaca. Located in New York's Finger Lakes region, Ithaca boasts an authentic craft beverage experience, tasty farm-to-table culinary adventures, and scenic outdoor recreation. As the saying goes, Ithaca is gorgeous. The city is home to 150 waterfalls and gorges sprinkled through its downtown and sloping hillsides. State parks and acres of natural lands offer outdoor recreation for every level of enthusiast. Come stroll among the cool ravines, scenic hiking trails, and natural vistas. Ithaca is home to Ivy League Cornell University and Ithaca College, resulting in an influx of new cultures, new tastes, and new energy every year. There's so much to explore, from art galleries and museums to unique attractions like the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. Ithaca sits at the heart of a blossoming heritage and craft cider industry. Some of these delicious ciders can be bought in market, but many of the most unique varieties can only be experienced with a visit to Ithaca and this great cider region. Go to visitithaca.com to get inspired and plan your trip today.
Are you enjoying this podcast? Heritage Radio Network has plenty more. My name is Akiko Katayama, and I'm the host of Japan Needs here on HRN. By interviewing fascinating personalities in Japanese culinary culture, I try to demystify Japanese cuisine. My guests have included sake brewers, tea experts, Japanese whiskey experts, and sushi chefs. You can find Japan Needs whenever you listen to podcasts and on heritageradionetwork.org.
To All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Sherry Bayer. My guest today is Ellen Bennett. She's the founder of Headley & Bennett, which is a Los Angeles-based handcrafted apron company. So Ellen, today, I know you have both industry and wholesale business, and you also have retail consumer. Is it 50-50? How is the company divided now, or what are you focusing mostly on, or is it both?
Great question. We have evolved into really a culinary brand. You know, we're not even just an apron company anymore. We're very much bridging the gap between the professional kitchen and the home kitchen, and, you know, providing and making essentials that are, again, well-designed, pro-grade. They look awesome, but they also stand up to a serious beating, and it's 50-50. Currently, so we still outfit thousands of restaurants and commissaries and, you know, hotels and all that stuff. But then we also have about 50% is our D2C business online. And, you know, we're in select retailers, and we really focus on those two channels as the brand has continued to evolve and expand. And then, you know, we do collaborations almost yearly with different companies. So last year we did Vans. And it was such a success that we did again a chef's shoe with them this year. And it's really cool to be able to bring all the insight that we gather and have from 6.5 years of, you know, working with chefs, not to mention the time that I was in the kitchen. And now we can adapt that and plug in our own design thoughts and team up with a brand like Vans to create the perfect shoe for the kitchen. That's also fun and colorful on the sole, but then the top of the shoe is still subtle and, you know, low key. So it's really cool.
It is really cool. And I will let you know that my tip today was completely pulled and inspired from your Instagram post about Vans when I saw that the other day, where you talked about celebrating the success. Because I like to, you know, as I'm coming up with these tips, I'm always thinking of my guests and what ties in. And I saw your post and I was like, yes, we need to celebrate moments. We need to celebrate our accomplishments. And because that's huge. I mean, to have that collaboration, that's a big deal. So I love that you were like stepping back and saying, hey, look at this. This is cool.
No, totally. And I it's funny. You were reading it out loud and I was like, oh, that sounds so familiar. I like that. I like that she's on the same page. I think that as like crazy entrepreneurs, I hate to say it, but sometimes we almost minimize the accomplishments and focus on the downfalls of stuff because they overshadow or overweigh the success sometimes. And I was going through a bunch of stuff that we were figuring out last week, and it was all great stuff, by the way. It's like writing a book, doing this, working on a show, like everything is great. It's just you don't stop to look at it, and I really do believe that you have to be present for those moments because the journey is the adventure. We're, you know, sometimes we think like we're trying to get somewhere, but like we're there every day. Every day that we're alive is like the day to to seize the day. Like, what else are we waiting for? You know, so I've really been trying to shift my perspective to appreciate and assimilate what is happening right now versus being like, well, that's great, but when we get this thing, it'll be better. That's like just obnoxious onto myself.
Well, yeah, no, it's very true. I think as especially driven people or, you know, people with your own business, like you're always kind of thinking what's next and pushing forward. But yeah, I think it's important to celebrate what we've accomplished. It's really good.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to ask you about, I really just picked it up mostly on Instagram, how Firehouse Hotel in LA. What's your involvement with it?
So the Firehouse Hotel is just down the street from Headley and Bennett, literally on the same street. And a friend of mine put it together and designed it and all that. And I really wanted to be a part of it when I first heard of it. And, you know, since I still have my leg in the restaurant world, I wanted to do something. I wanted to learn what that experience was like. So I, you know, dove in headfirst with them and have basically been a partner. And we call me the creative at large. So I, you know, I bring people together there. We're starting to organize different series of events. And it's just an extension of the Ellen world in a different format. And, you know, we created these beautiful jackets that are like work coats inspired by French workwear for them instead of making aprons. So it's just, you know, sometimes people think, oh, you're just an apron. You're just an apron. It's like, no, there's so much more nuance to what we're doing. And that was just a way to show that. And it's been really fun not being the boss, ironically. It's been really cool going in there and being like, that doesn't work. I'm not responsible for that piece. So I'm going to stay out of that. But here, I can contribute over here. And listening to feedback and working with different teams. I've been, you know, running the show and managing Headley and Bennett for almost 7 years now. So I've really enjoyed being on the other side of the table, and I'm learning a ton, which I think you can never stop learning. So I'm learning from that team and adopting it and bringing it over to Headley and Bennett. So I think everybody is winning.
Yeah. Well, sounds awesome. What, how do you manage your time? I mean, I'm assuming probably every day is a bit different. I know you travel a lot, you have events, how are you handling all of this?
Oh goodness. Some days better than others. Other days I'm like, holy crap, how am I going to get through all of this? But no, I think I'm pretty committed to the cause is I work out and it's on my calendar, and that just gives me zen and peace of mind. And I do that almost every day, if not every other day. I use my Google Calendar religiously. I use Boomerang, which is an app that plugs into Gmail that like bounces emails back when you haven't gotten a response. I use that like no other. I could be a spokesperson for them. Every single thing that I do is on my calendar, and I reference it at night and I reference it at the end of the week. I also have a sort of tracker that tracks all the different projects and activities that I'm involved in. And, you know, whether it's like, okay, I have to literally track, okay, I attended this many events, I was on this many panels, I did this many podcasts, I went over here, I, you know, and then I can see where I'm putting my time and my effort. And sometimes it gets a little discombobulated. So then I can look back and look at my week and say, you know what? I actually spent too much time in this area. I need to focus more on this over here. And it's taking that time to look back and actually assimilate what you did that is very helpful. So typically my Sundays end up being a day where I'll sit down with my assistant. I have an interesting setup where I had assistants during the day, and it just wasn't working schedule-wise for me because I'm always running around doing other stuff. So I actually found the greatest assistant of all time, and she works with me nights and weekends. And that's the time where I can work on emails, catch up, work on projects, and it's just the craze of the office is dies off around 6, and then I can just hunker down. So Sundays, her and I will just plow out the week and where I'm going to go and what I'm going to do. And it lives on my calendar, and I have buckets in my email. And I just, you find a way. You just have to, like, when there's chaos, you have to grab one thing and deal with it. And then you grab the next thing and you put it away. And eventually the whole room gets clean. That's just kind of how you deal with chaos.
Yeah. I mean, lots of great tips in there. And I have to check out Boomerang.
Oh, it's fantastic. I really, really love it. And if you have Gmail, you use the G Drive, the whole suite. It plugs into all of it. So it's really quite helpful. And my whole company operates off of, Google Suite. So everything is pretty well integrated, and everybody's calendar reminders are integrated. And I would say I put a lot of things on there that are weekly or monthly or every other day. You can schedule it so that your whole life is just living on your calendar. It's great.
Very organized. And I know you have to be. Okay, so before we take another break, I have a question from my last guest on episode 217. I had on Tanya Steele. She's the executive director of IACP, International Association of Culinary Professionals, and I asked her to ask you a question. I think we have it on playback. Let's see. Amanda, can you play back? Nope. Okay, we don't have it on playback this week. However, I have the question because I was at the episode. Okay.
Amazing
how that works. Okay, so here's the question. Are your aprons going to be air conditioned or heated in the future, thinking like 10 years from now? Because she noted how scientists are now working on clothes of the future with heating and cooling elements. So,
how
about that?
And what a freaking idea. I'm going to make sure that I get that to product development immediately. As it stands right now, we don't have plans for an air conditioned apron, but I will say our aprons are super, super, super like lightweight, but durable and comfortable. So the denim is never very heavy. Like a pair of jeans, call it, that's 12 ounce denim. Our aprons are in more the 8 ounce range. So it's really like easy to wear. You shouldn't have any trouble with our goods.
That's good to know. I mean, for me, someone whose fingers are always cold, I would like the little pockets or something that are warm inside, something like that.
Oh, yeah.
I would go for the heat more than the air conditioning.
Little toaster ovens. Yeah, little hand toaster ovens.
Yeah.
I love
it. Yeah, so I don't know, but apparently this sort of heated air conditioned clothing is the future. So we'll
That's
see.
That's unbelievable.
We'll see. Okay, we're gonna take another break here. We're gonna come back, real short break, and we'll come back and we'll do my speed round game and talk some industry news. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network.
Awesome.
Welcome back to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Sherry Bayer. My guest today is Ellen Bennett, and it is time for my speed round game, and I just have a feeling you're going to be great at this. So what this is I name two or more things, and you get to pick your preference, such as chocolate or vanilla.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I am so ready. Let's do this.
All right. Here we go. Eat in or eat out?
Eat in.
Wine, beer, cocktail, or mocktail?
Cocktail.
Tasting menu or a la carte?
A la carte.
Small plates or large plates?
Large plates.
Communal table or chef's counter?
Communal table.
Tipping or all-inclusive charge?
All-inclusive charge.
All right. A few more. You're fast. Zip lining from a treehouse or playing with your pet pig, Oliver. I think that's his name.
Oh, my God. Can I choose both?
Yes, you can, because that's not a fair one. But you're like, you're so fun. I want a zip line and play with Oliver. I want both.
Yeah, the 200-pound pig. He's a doozy.
I don't know if I've said this on the air. I have a pet rabbit. So that's like people.
We should get together and we can have a mini petting zoo.
We really could, because the people, I mean, between the two of us, it's, yeah, we could get a few more people. We could have her. We'll have to work on that. Okay, a few more. Planning your own wedding or possibly planning someone else's?
Planning. I actually like both. I really loved planning my wedding, but I love planning other people's weddings too. So both.
Well, from what I saw online, it looked absolutely like the most fun, bestest wedding ever. So congratulations to you.
It's actually this issue of Cherry Bomb this month.
Ah, oh, good for you. Yeah, you'll have to check get it out. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. That's amazing. Okay. Two more. Cheese plate or dessert?
Cheese plate.
Manhattan, Brooklyn, Los Angeles, or Mexico City?
Oh my God, Mexico City, 1,000%.
Oh wow. I finally visited Mexico City a year ago, or 2 years.
Oh,
yeah.
The best. It was literally the best.
I was so due, and it was wonderful. I love to return. Really, Yay. Really strong dining scene there too.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, totally.
Okay, speaking of strong dining scene, so industry news. Yesterday, the world's 50 best restaurants list came out, and it was held, their award ceremony was in Singapore. Yeah. And this is you know, a list that everyone looks at every year. The top chefs around the world are all there. It's a big deal. And they gave the number one spot to Mirazur, which is a restaurant on the French Riviera in Menton. I have not been there, but I feel like it's been on the list many times, but it's never been number one.
I know.
They changed.
Kind of amazing.
It is amazing. They changed the rules a little this year, where they made it so if you were number one in the past, that you weren't eligible to be number one, but they took all the number ones and they're giving them like their own list of like the best of the best. And that's 11 Madison Park and Osteria Francescana and all these amazing restaurants. So I guess they're doing it so other people can be number one.
I think that makes sense. I think that's playing fair.
I agree. I mean, Dan, any thoughts on this? I mean, the list, you know, it's always an impressive group of restaurants. I'm always so happy for everyone that they get acknowledged. You know, there's always a little controversy with how these lists come about, but I just like celebrating the industry, and I think it's nice.
I think for better or for worse, and yes, there's always going to be lots of different opinions about everything, but it's great that it helps the restaurants bring attention to them so that they can have even more business. And at the end of the day, business is business, and that's fantastic for everybody. So I think that's really special. Daniela was a dear friend of mine. She was in my wedding, who is the chef at Cosme and Atla in New York. She was on the list, so that was really exciting. Pujol was on the list. We outfit both restaurants, and they're both dear friends of mine. So I was very excited to see them on there. And it also, what I really appreciated about that list is that it's very international. It's not just the United States or Latin America. It's everywhere. And you get to see these different places. Like, I was in Bangkok for my honeymoon, and, you know, we got to go and visit Gagan, that made it on the list. So when you're in other places and you get to be exposed to other cultures, and it's slightly because of this list, because I heard of them through that list, you know, I went to Gagan because of them, then I appreciate that. So I don't have anything against it.
Oh, I agree. I agree completely. And yeah, Cosme was ranked number 23, and Daniela also got the Female Chef of the Year, which they have. I'm pro all this acknowledgement, and I have to say, I don't look at these lists as I'm not one of those people that like runs through it and go, I have to visit every restaurant. But I've been to a very good percentage of restaurants in this list, and most of the ones actually in the top 10, and it's because when I am traveling, these are on my radar, and like Mido in Peru and Central, like I've been there, and I was blown away by both of them. They're really special restaurants, and so it's, and I'm I don't know. I get excited that I've visited these places, or I dined there, I've met the chefs, and that I'm then, I feel more a part of, you know, their experience, and I'm just happy for their accomplishments, and that, you know, it's good for the industry.
100%. It definitely moves the needle. It's great.
Yeah. So congratulations to everyone. People, if you want to check out the list, it's you can go to theworlds50best.com and check it out. Actually, this year they expanded. It was, you know, it's the 50 best, but they also had 51 to 100, but they added to 120 this year. So they gave more.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I, what was it? Automix, which is a fantastic new restaurant in New York. They were 119. So it's good they added up to 120 because they got on the list.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, okay, great. I usually take a break now. I do my solo dining experience and have the final question. But since you're on the phone, I think maybe before I do the final question, I could have you do the final question, and then I could send you on your way so you can get back to making fabulous things.
thank you.
So my next guest is Evelyn Kim. She is the co-founder and chief strategic officer and policy director of Rethink Food NYC, and this is a nonprofit organization upcycling excess food to distribute meals to underserved communities in New York City. I met Evelyn at the MAD conference in Copenhagen this year, and she's going to be in New York next week. So I'm really excited to talk to her. But Ellen, what would you like to ask Evelyn?
Wow, that's a doozy of a question. I feel like I want to ask her so many things. I would say, you know, as a business owner that, you know, we have almost close to 50 employees, what I would want to know, like, what does she suggest businesses to do to help contribute in some way, whether it's, you know, when we throw events and we have extra food, like, what should people do as business owners to connect to a local food drive, et cetera, to not waste food when they have any sort of activity happening there? Because anytime I see food go to waste, it's just like, oh, it kills me. And I want to know what her thoughts would be on. Just give us some tips on what we should do.
Awesome. I will ask her. It's a great question. So thank you so much for joining me today. I'm in awe of everything you do, and I just wish you continued success. And I just love seeing your work, and it's actually I forgot to mention, like, I painted my nails like a bright orange color this week as inspiration from you. I'm like, you are a colorful lady.
Oh, that makes me so happy. That's fantastic. Yes, everybody should use more color in their life. We should all dream big. The hustle is very real to get to the dream, but that's half the adventure. So if you have a dream, for God's sake, go out and get it. It's worth the journey.
Yeah, well, that's a great oh, message.
And also, of course, if people want to follow us on Instagram at Ellen Marie Bennett and Hedley and Bennett, you can see all the real-time and crazy adventures and the zip line and the pig and the slides and all of that. And Shari, next time you come to LA, like, you have to come to the factory. You got to get a tour and got to go down our slide and go on our swing and visit our Lockalome coffee bar in the factory. And yeah, it's a fun playground. It's like a Disneyland for chefs.
I'm in. I'm hoping to get out to LA later this year, so I will keep you posted.
Done. Thank you so much for having me. You're amazing for bringing people together and celebrating the industry. So thank you as well.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Talk to you soon. We're going to take another... Yeah, thank you. You're amazing. We're going to take one more break. We'll come back. We'll do my solo dining experience, and that will be the show. So stay with us. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. Welcome back to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Sherry Bayer. It's time for my solo dining experience. This week, it's at Buna Cafe. Here's the rundown. The location, 1084 Flushing Avenue, Bushwick, Brooklyn, New York City. The concept, it's an Ethiopian plant-based cafe, bar, and venue. The Buna crew, Sam Severance, Lua Ayulu, and Chef Khadija Siraj. So why did I go? Well, I've been meaning to go for a while because this restaurant is located out in Bushwick, where I am right now at Roberta's in Bushwick. It's our neighbor, and I've always heard great things about it. So I finally went. So my experience, it was a couple weeks ago that I made my way there for an early dinner after my show. And I sat down, I looked over the menu, my server guided me through it. And he told me there was this coffee ceremony that was about to take place. And I was excited because I like coffee. So that's a part of their, it's an integral part of the social and cultural life in Ethiopia. And so I got to experience it. They had this woman making coffee and it was served with good timing. It was a very good timing meal for me. I ate, I enjoyed, I had a nice quiet dinner. What did I get? So I went with the meal plate, which had five different warm or cold dishes. There were different, you could choose from about 10 different options. I had beets, I had whole yellow split peas, I had kombucha, squash, and red lentils served on injera, which is their sourdough flatbread made of teff and barley flour. I also had my Buna coffee, which came later, as I said. So my take, it was really delicious, very colorful plate. My favorites were the beets and the squash. And, you know, it's fun. You get to eat with your hands. It's a bit messy, but it's eating with your hands somehow. I don't know. The food, I think, always tastes better for whatever reason. Okay, so the ambiance is a low-key cafe space. It's a bit darkish. It's got windows in the front, but it kind of sprawls into the back. And they had this coffee ceremony going on in the middle of the room. I'd say it's perfect for flavorful vegan and veggie eats. Interesting tidbit, they do these coffee ceremonies on Wednesdays and Fridays at 6 and on weekends too. And you can find out more on their website, which I will tell you in a minute. Personal fun fact, I'm one of those people who can drink strong coffee late in the day. It doesn't affect me yet with my sleep. I keep waiting to see when it will, but yeah, like 6 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock, I can still have a strong coffee. Okay, the cost was $13, not including tax and gratuity. Would I go back? Yes, I would. I feel I should eat more Ethiopian food. I don't have it enough. So their website is bunaethiopia.net. Okay, so we did the final question. So that's the show. Thank you all for listening, and many thanks to Ellen Bennett, the founder of Headley & Bennett, a Los Angeles-based handcrafted apron company. Their website is headleyandbennett.com, and as Ellen had said, you can follow them on social media at Headley & Bennett and at Ellen Marie Bennett. And you should follow her because she has a great account. Both the accounts are really, really fabulous. And you can follow me at Sherry Bayer, at Bayer PR, and at All Industry. You can find out all about what I'm doing and about my PR business and about the show on all of those accounts. And also, you can find out more about the show on Facebook at All in the Industry. And then my business website is BayerPublicRelations.com and SherryBayer.com. All of our shows are archived at heritageradionetwork.org. We are also on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify. And you can subscribe to our show, and you can leave reviews, and I'd love to get your feedback. Many thanks to my engineer today, Amanda, and thanks again to Ellen. I'm Sherry Bayer. I will be back next week with another live show. I hope you'll tune in then, and thank you for being part of All in the Industry. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Heritage Radio Network, good radio supported by you. For freshest content and to learn more about our 10-year anniversary celebration happening all year long, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thank you for listening.